If you stand in front of the old train depot on Dixon Street in Fayetteville, you'll often see a busy sight. Cars driving downtown, bicyclists riding along the trail, students walking up the hill to class, or maybe even a train crawling along the tracks. If you travel a few blocks southwest, you'll uncover a decidedly more serene picture. Tucked behind the Kappa Sigma fraternity's house and the University of Arkansas's Nanoscale Material Science and Engineering building, you'll find Evergreen Cemetery. The cemetery lives up to its name with lush green trees and bushes that sway ever so slightly as a cool breeze rolls through.
On a comfortable spring afternoon, Antoinette and I took a tour of Evergreen Cemetery with Bill Flanagan. The local artist is the cemetery's former caretaker and now is one of the main keepers of its stories. Bill explains he was always interested in Fayetteville history, and through the years, people have shared their stories with him. Over time, he's collected these stories, and on this partly cloudy day, he's decided to share a few of them with us.
The best place to start with a story is at the beginning. So Bill tells us that Evergreen Cemetery was established by the John Thurman family in the 1840s. They lived about where the old train depot is located, and the cemetery used to be part of their farm. The first person to be buried there was a friend of the family named George Sturman, who died in 1847.
When people go to a cemetery, they think it's pretty upfront how old it is, because you walk through and you say, you find a grave that says Madonna died in 1836, and you say the cemetery is that old. But that's not necessarily true, because a lot of people were moved here after they died, years after they died. In the 19th century, they moved people a lot. I don't know all the reasons they had to doing it, but one of the reasons in Fayetteville was that when Fayetteville started out, there wasn't any cemeteries, and people were buried in the backyard or the field behind the house, and as people moved and streets were cut out and things, people wanted their loved ones to be in a more permanent place, thus Evergreen Cemetery.
Another misconception Bill explains is that Sophia Sawyer was the first person to be buried here. In 1870, the Masons bought land around Evergreen and began their own cemetery. When they did a recording of Evergreen to see who was buried here, the first grave recorded was Sophia's. And over time, some took that to mean she was the first person to be buried here. Though not the first, Sophia's grave is located in Evergreen, and Bill describes her as one of Fayetteville's pillars.
She was a really fiery woman. And she was pretty tough, and she, one of the stories that's told about her is that she was in Georgia, and she got in trouble for teaching a slave to read, and it was against the law to teach slaves to read. And they told her she was breaking the laws of the United States, and she kind of looked him in the eye, and she said, I don't answer the laws of the United States. I answer the laws of a much higher and more civilized nation than the United States. I answer the laws of the Cherokee Nation, and your laws mean nothing to me. And then so she came around by boat when she moved, finally came, went to Oklahoma. It's kind of, she came all the way around Florida, down along the coast into the boat and up the Mississippi River and then up the Arkansas River till she couldn't come any farther. I don't know how far she got. And she did write that she was very concerned that the sailors used such foul language and that she didn't think it was becoming professional men like that to talk that way. So she was definitely a character.
Sophia also founded the Fayetteville Female Seminary in 1839. Etched on her tombstone are the words, "She had done what she could," which Bill notes is a phrase often found on women's graves in this part of the country. As we continue our stroll through the cemetery, from time to time I catch Bill glancing at notes he has written on little yellow pieces of paper for accuracy. However, it becomes clear rather quickly that he is a passionate storyteller who knows several of these tales by heart.
Some of this may be true or not true, but, you know, I think, as I say, these stories or these tales kind of point ways for researchers like Abby Burnett or people like that to go, and they find often a better story than what was originally told. This guy right here, see if I can read his name, James Troth, was killed on the square by a gun. He was upstairs on the square. And somebody was messing with a firearm down below, in the story below, and the bullet went through and killed him. So this is kind of an interesting little story. And if you see, when he died in 1870, it looks like. So that's a long time ago. But so you get these little stories of how people died, which is, it's kind of cool.
He was shot on the square.
Shot on the square. By accident. Yeah. He was a pretty popular guy, and they had a big funeral for him.
Evergreen Cemetery is the resting place for several veterans. Bill says there are soldiers here who fought in every American war, except the Revolutionary War and the wars in the Gulf. He says more than 60 people who fought in the Civil War are buried here, and in fact, Evergreen Cemetery has more soldiers who fought in the Civil War than in World War II. One of the more well-known military men interred here is Lafayette Gregg.
This is Lafayette Gregg, and he has the tallest monument in the cemetery. He was on the Arkansas Supreme Court. He signed legislation to get the University of Arkansas here, and he was a Unionist and supported the North in the Civil War. He was from the South, but he supported the North in the Civil War. So he had a price on his head by the Confederacy. And one of the stories is they caught him, and they were going to either shoot him or hang him the next morning. And it'd be like, people were really divided. It was about 50-50 here. And so some friends of his let him out in the middle of the night and gave him a horse and said, get out of here, they're going to kill you in the morning. So go, and he did.
The second tallest tombstone belongs to Henry Van Winkle. He supported the Confederacy and had a price on his head from the North, so he fled to Texas until the war was over. Bill points across the way to the eastern side of the cemetery near our parked car and says the Gray family is buried over there. They were from the North, but supported the South.
After the war, they worked with Lafayette Gregg, and here are these people on different sides in the war. One's for the North to support the South, one's the South to support the North, and yet they became friends. And Lafayette Gregg sold them the land for their house, and it was right across the street from where his house is, because his house is still standing. It's on the corner of Gregg and Lafayette Street. And so I think it's kindred. His wife, Virginia Gregg, was an artist, and she painted a painting of Old Main right after it was finished. And it was kind of famous, and nobody knows what happened to it. So if anybody finds it in their basement or something like that, the university wants it back, and it'll make them very happy if you found it.
In addition to those involved in military conflicts, Evergreen is the home to several other notable people.
In Evergreen Cemetery, we have one governor, six presidents of the University of Arkansas. We have a senator, which is J.W. Fulbright, who's probably the most famous person buried here. And we have five congressmen, a Hollywood producer, we'll walk by his grave, five colonels in the Civil War, one brigadier general, two baseball players, Sid Burton, if we may get to his grave, Sid Benton, he played for St. Louis in 1923, and his whole career was he pitched at two batters and walked both of them, and that was the end of his career. And then we have Roy Wood, who played for Cleveland and Pittsburgh. 1913 to 1915, and he had a pretty good record. He was a pretty good baseball player. He's buried right over there. We may get over to his grave. And
that's his family, you said, that was here?
Yeah, that was the woman right over there is his granddaughter, and which is just kind of apropos that she would just show up right now when we're talking about this.
Included in that list of congressmen Bill mentioned is Archibald Yell, the state's first congressman and second governor.
Looking right over here, this kind of woman next to the bush, that's Archibald Yell. You've probably heard of him. he was a politician. He paid the town of Yaleville $50 to name the town after him, and he never paid them.
I was going to say, I'd always heard that he offered to pay them $50.
Well, told them he was going to pay them. He never paid them, and a few years ago, his son, a grandson or something, gave him the $50. And this, I was told this by somebody from Yaleville. So that's my source. Anyway, about him, a couple of interesting things. He was a mixed bag, I guess, but he did believe that if you voted to go to war, the men that voted to go to war should go fight. They shouldn't just send the young boys off to go fight. And so he resigned and joined as a private in the Arkansas Imperial Cavalry, whatever it was called. And then, of course, in a few days, he's promoted to ran the whole shebang. But then he went off over there, and they didn't really do much. They just kind of ran around and probably got in skirmishes and looted a little bit till right at the very end of the war, they got in the Battle of Buena Vista, and he got killed. There were a lot of casualties, U.S. casualties, and it was two or three days later that Santa Ana surrendered. And he was killed there with a lance in his head. And the rumor is, this is a rumor, and that said that he body was shipped back in a keg of whiskey. Now, Abby Burnett became real fascinated about that and checked it out. And that's not true. We don't believe that's true at all. But it's just one of those little tales that get told. But she did find a lot of cases where people were shipped back in charcoal and different things like that.
Another notable grave belongs to Edward Durrell Stone, a Fayetteville native and architect who designed buildings throughout the world. On the other side of Archibald Yell's tombstone, Bill points out a 30 to 40 foot space where there are no graves. He says that's where the University of Arkansas used to bury its students who died during a semester before starting a cemetery on campus. As we make our way to the northwest corner of the cemetery, Bill tells us our first ghost story.
We do have a very famous ghost in Evergreen Cemetery, but she does not haunt Evergreen Cemetery. Her name is Laura Yater, and she haunts a place in the city of Warrensburg, Missouri. It's where the University of Central Missouri is, in a place named after her called Yater Hall. And she was born 1865, died 1854, and somewhere she was teaching up there, I guess, from about 1901 to about 1940. And it was definitely a man's world, particularly in those days. And she was was pushing for the rights of women and for women to get a better deal in education. And a lot of universities were starting to had men's dorms, but they didn't have very many. Some were starting to get dorms for young women. And so she pushed and pushed to get a dorm. And so finally, toward her old age, they came up with the price of a dorm would be $10,000. And the university only had $5,000. So she had some savings. She was not a poor woman. She took $5,000 of her own money to build the dorm, to add to what the university had. And then after the dorm, there's some of the stories I've heard that she became the house mother. I don't think that's true, but I think she visited and helped set rules and things like that. And they might have been pretty strict on what young women had to do when they were there. But she thought young women reinforced themselves, and that was real important to her for them to have that kind of environment. And of course, for any good ghost story, she has to die. And she died in 1954. And then the usual things started happening. On the third floor, there was lights would be turned on and off. And then people started saying they saw her looking out the third floor window. Lights would be turned on. They didn't even have electricity going to them. Furniture moved. People here see something, a woman dressed in white running down the hallway. All this stuff happened. Now, this has supposedly been going on for a long time now, over 60 years, almost 70 years.
As we continue exploring the cemetery for a while, we eventually circle back toward our car. After passing by a random patch of cacti, we find ourselves at the grave of an African-American who Bill says had to be snuck into the cemetery.
Adeline Blakely, 1850-1945, she was a slave. And she was given, very often as a policy there, when a young woman got married, they would give her a slave to be her kind of a companion and take care of her for the rest of her life, usually about the same age as she was. And that's what happened to her. She was given to a woman in the Blakely family. And she lived a long time. And there's been other stuff written about her. You may have heard, you may know about more about her than I do. But anyway, I did talk to some of the members of the family, and they said when she died, she became like the matriarch of the family almost. She was like grandma. She raised all the kids and those kids, and they wanted her buried with them. And this was when couldn't do that. This is when Jim Crow was still running the South, and so they snuck her in. And basically, they went to one of the funeral homes. I think it might have been Moore's, but I'm not sure which one it is. They basically said they wanted a closed coffin, and to tell, they knew the cemetery people. They bribed them not to say who she really was and put her down as an aunt and snuck her in. And they could have gotten big trouble for that, but of course they didn't, so she's here.
In 1915, the Masons deeded the cemetery to the Evergreen Cemetery Association. The group became incorporated as the Fayetteville Evergreen Cemetery Association in 1925, and it's been responsible for the care of the cemetery since. Today, Evergreen is overseen by a board, and although the cemetery seems pretty full, Bill says they bury about 5 people here annually. You can learn more about the cemetery by following links that you can find on our webpage, OzarksAtLarge.com.